Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
If you turn your thoughts to the words I'm about to read, first scripture is from 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Reading now from Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. May the Lord add his blessing to these words.
Back in 2009, I had been encouraged by some interim ministers that we had at Bethany, where we, Jeannie and I, went to church at that time, to take a lay speaker course. So I signed up, and that course happened to be here at St. John's in the fellowship hall. And there were some people from St. John's in that class, Scott Gardner and Tom Finley and Michelle Bapp and Pat Bradley, and there were other people in the class as well. But I remember after the first Sunday driving back to Waterloo, where we were living, I thought, well, I don't know whether I can do this or not. Jeannie convinced me that I could and talked me into coming back for another week, so I came back. It was about a 5 or 6 week course, and I actually gave my very first message that I ever gave right here on this stage on this area right here. And here we are 9 years later, and Jeannie and I are members at St. John's, and I'm still giving messages here at St. John's. So you never know what's going to happen in the future. Having spent over 30 years in education, I consider myself a professional educator. A pastor friend of mine told me he liked to make people uncomfortable when he gave a sermon. I thought about that and realized that I'm an educator, not a pastor. So I approach my message as a lesson. And my hope is that I can present a message or a lesson that will make the audience think and hopefully learn something that would be beneficial in their Christian life. So, class is in session. If anybody falls asleep, I may call on you. And there's no library passes issued during this class. We live in a society that is a sports-minded generation. Nothing motivates people more than sports. The Cardinals, the Blues, even the Cubs. Right now, the World Cup. If you saw the celebration in Mexico yesterday, you know how exciting the World Cup is for all around the world. And our local teams also generate a lot of excitement. Sports has almost become a religion, and the champions godlike. How many of us have left a ball game when it went into extra innings? Probably not very many of us. How many of us have left a basketball game because it went into overtime? Very few. But I would imagine there would be some people that would grumble if I went over my allotted time today. Don't worry. Jeannie always tells me two things before I present a message. Do a good job and watch your time. So I'm watching my time. I read the other day where a husband said this to his wife. Now, before football season starts, is there anything you would like to say to me? A little bit extreme, maybe, but I think it gets the point across how important sports is in our society. Many of you, or maybe some of you, because you may not know who I am, but you may know that sports is very important to my family and to our lives. As a player, Jeannie and I both coached. All three of our kids played sports in college. One of our sons played professionally. I had my oldest grandson one time when he was little said, "Grandpa, I gotta like basketball because everybody in our family does." So it has been important to you. So it should not come as a surprise that I would develop a message or a lesson about a race. Now, I'm like Jan. I'm not a runner. I wish I could. I really do. I see people running and I go, "I wish I could do that." Now, I can play golf all day. When I was younger, I could play basketball all day, but I just never did like to run. But anyway, our lesson today is entitled The Christian Race. In Corinthians, Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, which Corinth was a wealthy trading center located on the Mediterranean Sea, and it was a fairly wicked city at that time. And he was writing to the church in Corinth because they were having trouble and they were struggling to act differently than some of the other people in town. In our scripture today, Paul uses the example of a race. In Paul's day, there was a great thirst for sports, much the same way as there is today. There were four sets of athletic games that were world-renowned at that time. First, the Olympics. Second, the Pythian Games. Third, the Nemean Games, and fourth is Lothian Games. And these games were staggered so that the wealthy and the elite could be entertained. They didn't have many of the devices that we have today for entertainment. Some of the events included were gymnastics, horsemanship, boxing, but the biggest event of these games was the marathon race. Now, for those of you that are not familiar, the marathon is 26.2 miles. A friend of mine qualified and ran in the Boston Marathon. It took him longer to run the last 6 miles than it did the first 20. He developed blood clots in his legs after the race was over. He couldn't even run for another year after that, after he had spent about 2 years training and preparing for the marathon. It's a long race that requires much discipline and training to complete the race, much the same way as our Christian race that we are all running requires discipline and training. I believe if Paul were alive today, he would be a huge sports fan. And much the same way some of us, when he got his morning paper, the first thing he would do would be look at the sports page. I also feel confident he would be a Cardinals fan. I want you to think of yourself in a race, the Christian race. The Christian life is not a rest, it's a race. It is a fight. The Christian life calls for the discipline of an athlete, the endurance of a marathon runner, and the determination of a champion. If we hold on to our old habits of sin, then we will not be able to finish the race. If we rely on Jesus, He will forgive us and then we can run at a steady pace, living a godly life. We can keep our eyes on Jesus as we go through our life here on earth. After finishing the 10,000-meter race in the 2010 Vancouver Olympic Games, Dutch skater Sven Kramer learned that he had skated the last 8 laps of the race in the wrong lane. The mistake meant automatic disqualification. He learned that his coach had sent him to the wrong lane on a changeover. If you're familiar at all with the Winter Olympics and the speed skating and so forth, they start out and they go so many laps in one lane, then they have a crossover and go to a different lane to make the race the same length for all the skaters. Though he finished first, he would receive no medal. Nothing in return for months and years of training and practice before the Olympic Games. Kramer, however, took the responsibility, saying, "I was on my way to make the right decision. I changed my decision because of advice from my coach. At the end of the day, it is my responsibility. I am the skater on the ice. How we run the Christian race is our decision. We can listen to outside influences and pay attention to what they have to say, or we can live our lives the way the Bible tells us to live. We are the ones that will determine if we are to be in the running for a gold medal for our life." Britain's Derek Redmond had dreamed all his life of winning a gold medal in the 400-meter race. And his dream was in sight as he ran in the semifinals at the Barcelona Olympics in 1992. He was running the race of his life when all of a sudden he felt a sharp pain go up the back of his leg. He fell onto the track with a torn right hamstring. As the trainers were approaching him, Redmond fought to his feet and began hopping to the finish line. When he reached the stretch, a large man in a t-shirt came out of the stands. It was Derek's father. He told his son, "You don't have to do this." "Yes, I do," Derek answered. And they completed the race together, staying in Derek's lane all the way. Now, Derek didn't walk away with a medal, but he was a winner because he did not give up, and with his father by his side, he finished the race. We have that same advantage when we have difficulties in our lives. When we run into speed bumps or valleys that we have, we know that our Heavenly Father is always by our side and willing to help us when we need it. Winning is not always based on being number one. We win when we do our best to please God. And we have a loving and caring Heavenly Father who is right beside us all the way to the finish line. Now you might be asking, "Steve, why would I want to run this Christian race?" So I'm going to give you a few reasons. One, so you could go to heaven. Or you could think of it another way, so you don't go to hell. A third reason, the Christian life is a pretty good life, and it can serve as a good example for other people. But I propose today that there may be a fourth reason, and that is the grace of God. God sent His only Son to die for our sins. This grace, this undeserved love that God shows us should motivate us to run the Christian race with all our hearts and to work diligently at doing our best to please God. When I was a high school basketball coach, I used to preach the 5 P's to my players. Proper preparation prevents poor performance. Okay? So we might be able to think of that as we go through now a few examples of how to train for this Christian race. Not an exhaustive list. I'm sure you could probably come up with some other ways, but I've jotted down a few examples of how we can train for the Christian race. First, read and study the Bible. Everything we need to know about running this Christian race can be found in the Bible. We need to read and study and apply the lessons found in the Bible to our daily lives. And I've heard people say, well, Steve, I'd like to read the Bible, but I just don't understand it. I can't read it. Well, I know for a fact that there's probably at least 40 different translations in English to the Bible. So I would think you could find one translation that maybe would be easier for you to... I know everybody maybe doesn't understand the original King James Version, but we have so many other versions that there really is no reason why. There are study guides or reading guides, I guess you might call them. I had one, and it was called Read the Bible in a Year, and each day you read so many verses and scriptures and things. So there's ways that we can, and it just becomes a habit of reading the Bible. The second example is prayer. We need to pray. Prayer is indispensable in our battle with Satan. We need to be in daily conversation with God through prayer. We, however, also need to listen to God's voice in our lives and what He is telling us that we need to do. And again, it can become a habit. Set a certain time during the day. Okay, I'm going to pray every day at 9 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock, depending upon if you're a morning person or an evening person. And it doesn't have to be a long prayer. I remember one time Jeannie's grandmother looked at me one time and said, you know, Steve, a prayer can be one sentence. And so it doesn't have to be a big oration. Third, we need to confess our sins and accept responsibility for our shortcomings and make an honest attempt to make changes when necessary. Four, we need to submit our lives to God so that we can serve the Lord and the Lord only. Sometimes things can become more important to us than they should be. We must be willing to make sacrifices necessary to serve the Lord. And I know it's hard. It would be easy on Sunday morning to skip out and go play golf or to skip out and go fishing or something else. But we need to make sacrifices that would help us. Number five, worship regularly. Morning worship, Sunday school, Bible study, small groups. I don't know about you, but Sunday morning's a highlight of my week. I look forward to coming to St. John's on Sunday morning and visiting with my church family and worshiping with my church family. It's a great way to start the week and to get you going in the right direction at the start of the week. I read a devotion the other day, and they used a term in there that I thought might be appropriate right now, and the term was spiritual amnesia. Sometimes in our lives when things are going good and we don't have any problems, there's no speed bumps, there's no valleys, we may become a little lax in our Christian race. But when let things get tough and let things get difficult, and then we run back, whereas we need to be here all the time. We need to be diligent in our training for the Christian race. The last one is easy for us Methodists. It's called fellowship. We love a good potluck supper. Always have. I've been a Methodist for 67 years. And haven't missed too many potluck suppers. My dad used to preach at a country church, and the ladies out there could cook. And any time they had a potluck, I would go along with him out to the church out there. We need to spend time with other Christians in conversation, sharing a meal, building one another up. As I was working on this message this morning, this thought kept coming into my mind of encouragement, encouragement, encouragement. And I couldn't figure out why. And I finally came to decide that I needed to put that in right here, that we need to encourage each other and build each other up. And not, if you don't have anything good to say about somebody, don't say anything at all. My mom used to tell me that. But we need to encourage each other. Now, next Sunday, again, our new leaders are going to be here, and you're going to get a free meal. Okay? So I urge you to grab some friends and bring them with you to church. Tell them, hey, I'll buy you lunch if you come to church. They don't have to know that it's not going to cost anything. But it'll be a good time to meet our new pastors and family. And I'm sure Jackie probably agree with me on this. I remember a few first Sundays. It's kind of a nerve-wracking time. My mom would go, now boys, you make sure you behave in church today. And she was mainly talking to my brother, not to me. And then we would go into the church and wonder, well, I wonder who we're going to make mad for sitting in their pew today. And Jeannie and I have had the same thing as I drug her around on some other jobs, and we had to go to a new church wondering, well, whose pew are we sitting in today? Who's giving us the evil eye? So I invite you to all come back next week and bring friends with you and meet our new pastors and Pastor Grant's family. And enjoy the free meal. I believe Paul, in his writing to the church at Corinth, used the example of a race to point to another race, the Christian race. We all have our own race to run. I cannot run your race, and you cannot run mine. Sadly, if we're not Christians, we are not even in the race, and therefore we have no hope of achieving the ultimate goal of everlasting life with God in heaven. Every one of us is going to finish the race, but not every one of us is going to win the race. We need to remember that Jesus is not timing us with a stopwatch. He is measuring us with a yardstick. It's not how fast we run that matters to the Lord. The Christian race is like a marathon and not a sprint. Hopefully, one day as we stand on a podium, not for a gold medal, but we will receive the prize. May we say as Paul did in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. The athlete in Corinth won a wreath that soon wilted. Today's winners receive a gold medal and sometimes millions of dollars in endorsements. But these prizes will not last forever. They will not take them to the next life. The prize for running the Christian race is a crown that will last forever, eternal life in heaven with God. What a finish is waiting for the faithful child of God who runs with perseverance the race set before them. So are you ready for your Christian race? On your mark, get set, go. Amen.